17 and in verse 32, we find one of the shortest verses of Scripture there, and that there's just three words that were spoken by our Lord, spoken by Jesus, and He simply says in Luke 17 and in verse 32, He says, "Remember Lot's wife." Now, the statement that He makes there in Luke chapter 17 and in that particular passage is He speaks those words in the context of the impending judgment or the impending destruction that is about to come upon Jerusalem. And He tells His disciples that it will be, you know, it will be without warning. It will be like a flash of lightning. It will be like the flood in Noah's day, or it will be like when fire and brimstone began to rain down from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah. And so it's in the midst of this teaching of to His disciples concerning this coming judgment upon the city of Jerusalem that He pauses and He says to His disciples, He says, "Remember Lot's wife." And so some 2,000, if my math is correct, some 2,000 to 2,100 years later, as He's teaching His disciples about this destruction that is about to befall Jerusalem, He pauses and He says, and He recalls and He says, "Remember, keep in memory, call to mind that of Lot's wife." In our lesson this morning, there are several reasons why. We're going to look at, and I want to call your attentions to several reasons why, five reasons why we need to remember Lot's wife, and why Jesus would tell His disciples and feel it important to bring up an event that occurred so long ago to teach His disciples about keeping her and the importance of keeping Lot's wife in their memory. Jesus tells us that there are lessons that we can learn from Lot's wife. Lessons that will help us in our walk with God. The judgment of the Lord, that is something to remember. That is something that we ought to keep in our mind. And Lot's wife teaches us some very valuable lessons. She teaches us some valuable lessons about God. And she also teaches us some valuable lessons about ourselves as well. And so as we begin in the book of Genesis and go back to Genesis in chapter 18 there and beginning in verse 20, we know the narrative there that is spoken to us in these verses going to chapter 19 and in verse 29. And we are told there how Abraham is told that Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains, they're going to be destroyed. God says, because of their extreme wickedness, I'm going to destroy the cities of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah and all of the cities around the plain. So I'm going to destroy that area. And so we learn and we know that Abraham, he has family there. We come to learn and to know that his nephew Lot is there. And so we find that in this instance that Abraham learns of this destruction that is going to come upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that Abraham begins to plead with God. And he asks God, "Are you going to destroy the righteous along with the wicked? Will you do that? Will you destroy the righteous and the wicked together at the same time in this ultimate destruction that you say is going to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah? Will you do that?" And so God says, and Abraham says, "If I can find 50 righteous souls, will you then spare the city and not destroy it?" Now I know, and I believe, firmly believe, that God knew there wasn't 50 righteous souls there. This seems to be this bargaining that goes back between Abraham and God of whether to destroy the city or not destroy the city, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. This is for Abraham's benefit.
to show him the extreme wickedness that Sodom and Gomorrah had gotten to, and the fact that God is right, that God is just in bringing about this judgment, this destruction upon this place and upon these cities. But nonetheless, for Abraham's benefit, God says, if you can find 50 righteous souls, I'll spare the city. And we know how the narrative goes, that Abraham couldn't find 50, and then he goes back to God and asks for 45. If you find 45, I'll spare it. We know how the narrative goes. He goes from 40 to 30 to 20 down to 10, and he couldn't find them. And so God says, I will destroy the city. And so Lot and his family, they are told to leave the city. They're told to leave the area and do not look back. Verse 17 of chapter 19, escape for your life. Don't look back or stay anywhere in the plains. And so we know that Lot leaves. Lot and his family leave the Lord. He begins to rain on Sodom, Gomorrah, brimstone and fire out of heaven. It tells us how those cities were overthrown, how the valley and all the inhabitants of the city and everything that grew upon the ground was destroyed. And in verse 26, we know what verse 26 says. We are familiar with the passage in verse 26 that tells us that his wife from behind him, she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And so what are the lessons that we learn from this event? What are the lessons that Jesus deemed to be important enough to his disciples to say, you remember her, you call her to mind, you keep her in memory? Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Because we learn that Lot's wife, that she perished, even though she was the right wife of a righteous man. Even though the wife of a man who was righteous, she still perished. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verses 7 and verse 8, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Now, we know, and we studied last week in Ben's lesson, and he talked about the importance of decisions, and in making decisions, Lot didn't always make the best decision. Lot made many mistakes in his life. But despite the mistakes that he made, the Scriptures still identify him. They still call him a righteous man. We read how the Lord turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He turned them into ashes. But we find that in the middle of that judgment, that He delivers just Lot. Not just Lot, but just or righteous Lot. Lot was, and we're told how he was deeply disturbed by the unrighteousness that he saw. And there were times in Lot's life that he may have been materialistic. There are times that he was morally weak. But despite that, and despite some of the bad decisions that he may have made, he didn't want any part of the sensual conduct that characterized Sodom's unprincipled culture. And it tells us how he was vexed. That means he was tortured. And it demonstrates the sheer excruciation that Lot experienced as he was exposed to the wickedness that existed in that area around him. She perished even though she was married to him. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, it tells us that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so not only was her husband righteous, Uncle Abraham was righteous as well. And so what we need to see and what we need to keep in mind and call to our memory is the fact that the righteousness of our relatives will not save us. It doesn't matter how faithful our spouse is. It doesn't matter how faithful mom is or dad is or sister is or brother is. Those things don't matter. We're not going to be asked when we stand before God, were your relatives faithful? God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. And Ezekiel chapter 18 and in verse 20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. The son will not bear the sin of the father, neither will the father bear the sin of the son. She is the one that disobeyed, and because of that disobedience, she perished. And so Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife because although she herself was righteous, she perished. She was spared from the initial destruction because of her righteousness, because of God's mercy. God told Abraham, I'll not destroy the righteous along with the wicked. And so Lot and his family are told to leave. She leaves. But the fact that she was spared from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that she was considered righteous, and she was able to leave that destruction, it did not give her a license or permission to be disobedient. It didn't give her a license to sin. Regardless of who we are, regardless of how strong that we think we might be, sin is to be avoided. And once escaping the defilements of the world, we have to continue to live a sanctified life, set apart for the service of the Lord. Those Christians in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10, those Christians at Smyrna are told to be faithful unto the point of death, and you will receive a crown of life. Even if you die at the hands of ungodly men, you remain faithful. Doesn't license you to sin. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, one can be in Christ and be carnal. One can be in Christ and be worldly. Like the Corinthians, that were full of envy, they were full of jealousy, they were full of strife. They were carnally minded. Even though in Christ, if one walks after the flesh, there's condemnation. There's no condemnation to those in Christ who follow after the Spirit. She was told to leave the city. The righteous, they weren't going to be destroyed along with the wicked. And so she left, but she looked back. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. She perished even though she herself was righteous. She sinned, and she perished. She perished even though she had the warning to flee. And she heeded the warning. It's interesting to note that not everyone heeded the warning. Lot's son-in-law didn't take him seriously. Lot's son-in-law thought he was joking about the fact that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Lot's son-in-law stayed. Which teaches us that, you know, it's not enough to know the facts of the gospel. But we must obey them. James 4 and in verse 17, to him who knows to do good and he does it not, to him it is sin. Knowing what should be done, that obligates us to do it. But it's worth observing there in James 4 and in verse 17 that James isn't merely speaking of the sin of just failing to do a good deed, but James is speaking of the failure to live a morally and spiritually excellent life whenever you have the knowledge to do that. When you stop and when you contemplate that, when you think about that, what a horrifying thing. What a horrifying thing to stand before God in judgment and to stand there condemned, all the while knowing the route to be pardoned by God. Think of those that have heard the gospel but haven't obeyed it. They know what God requires to become one of His children, but they've never obeyed it. They know what the Scripture says about believing in God, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. They know what the Scripture says, Jesus says, about confessing Him before men, about turning from our sin, about being buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism, arising a new creature. They know what the Scripture says, but for whatever reason, they've never done those things. Think about how horrible it would be to stand before God in judgment, knowing what God said to do, but yet not having done it. Think about standing before God in judgment, knowing what God's Word says about loving your brethren, about how you are to treat your brethren, about how you are to live soberly and godly and righteously in this present age, but yet not having done it. She was warned to flee. She knew the warning. She knew what was going to happen. And she knew what she was told to do. But she didn't do it. And she perished. And Jesus says, you remember her. You keep her in mind. You call her to memory. You learn this lesson. And the fact that she perished, even though her sin seemed small. You think about what she did. The fact that, she looked back. She turned her head. That's what she did. She looked back. Look at all of the things that people try to justify today. And then you look at what she looked back. That seemed only the natural thing to do. She's got family there. And the instruction that she has is you flee the city, you escape for your life, you leave, and you don't look back. And what she do? She turns her head and she looks back. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us, the wages of sin is death. And there's a tendency, we have a tendency to want to downplay the seriousness of sin and the consequences of sin. And then sometimes we excuse our behavior and we want to tell ourselves, it really wasn't that bad. It was just a little sin. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. It doesn't have to be an earth-shattering sin to keep us out of heaven. She looked back. She disobeyed. And because of her disobedience, she perished. And Jesus wants His disciples to remember that. To think about that. And to think about the fact that she perished even though she was separated from Sodom. Sodom can be viewed as a type of the world. And even though a person may leave the world, even though they might be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13, they can still sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Probably more than we would like to realize, there are Christians who are separated from the world, but they are looking back. And Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Don't learn
the lesson of Lot's wife the hard way. Don't look back. Keep your eyes on the goal. Press forward. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Never stop looking and never look away from the Lord. Never get distracted by the temptations of Satan. The mistake of Lot's wife should serve as a warning to each and every one of us. That initial separation from the world is good, but it's not sufficient. And we have to guard our lives. We have to guard our lives by continued obedience day after day after day. In Luke 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, "No one having put their hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." This morning, are you looking back? As a Christian, is there sin in your life that you need to repent of? Maybe you need to obey the gospel. Maybe you need to become a child of God. You need to follow God's plan for having your sins forgiven, becoming one of His children. This is the plan that God has for our salvation. Have you obeyed that? And if you've obeyed this, God's instruction to become a child of God, if you have obeyed and you have become a new creature in Christ, are you obeying God? Why not listen to the warning of Jesus? The warning of Jesus is, remember Lot's wife. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we plead with you as well to consider your relationship with God, your condition before God. Knowing that God's judgment is real. And we will answer for the things that we are doing and have done in this life. Why not be obedient to God? Learn the lesson that Jesus wants us to learn concerning Lot's wife. And so if you're here in your subject, why not come as we stand and sing the song selected?